Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey. For the next hour, join Maria as she takes on topics important to you. Finances, raising children, and dealing with your husband through his tough times and yours. This is the place to be as Maria and her guests bring you a wealth of information on all of these topics. Now, Maria Bailey on Mom Talk Radio.
It's a cold one in the United States, isn't it? I haven't even got down to 30 in Florida this week. You know, the chill is in the air, but hey, I'm here to warm you up for the next hour on Mom Talk Radio. It's you, me. The kids are out playing in the snow. Maybe they're nestled near the fireplace. They're sitting under a palm tree freezing because you told them to put on pants and they refused to listen. Why is it that kids never want to bundle up in the cold? Like, you tell them, don't go outside, you're going to be cold. And of course, they go outside and they're cold. And then like 5 minutes later, they're in the house saying, Mom, I'm cold, as if you thought that you were surprised to hear that. Anyways, it's a cold day in Florida. It's a cold day just about everywhere around the United States. But I'm happy you're here. Listening to Mom Talk Radio, and we've got a good lineup for you today. You know, there's some days that I say, ooh, Shauna, you did some really good finding of speakers. Anyways, today we are going to hear from, do you guys remember those little books called the Little Golden Books? Well, they have a new series, and it's called Everything I Know I Learned from a Little Golden Book. I mean, like, what did you really learn from Robin Hood? No, what is the three, the wolves? Robin Hood. Yeah, Little Red Riding Hood. That's Robin Hood. Little Red Riding Hood. And what did you learn from the three little pigs? We're going to discuss that on Mom Talk Radio. Some really deep stuff. Then we're going to find out how you can get in shape. It is not too late, ladies. I'm actually doing something called the 21-day challenge, and one of my coaches is going to be here on Mom Talk Radio to talk a little bit about that. But we got a great show, and as always, it's brought to you by Pre-Mama. You can drink Pre-Mama if you're expecting or you're a new mom. It's got all the vitamins you need in a in not a horse pill, but in a powder, tasteless powder that you can put into your orange juice, whatever you drink in the morning, Gatorade, iced tea, like me. You can get all those vitamins in there. And, you know, talk about the cold. Don't forget about, I know I told you about this before. You guys got to check out Monster Coats, monstercoats.com. They're the coolest coats for your kids. They're super warm. You'll get so many compliments on them. It'll just completely amaze you. So check out monstercoats.com. It's owned and operated and designed by a mom, and you gotta love those businesses. We gotta support each other here, right? There's enough working against us. We should just support each other. So we are gonna get started. We're gonna take a short break, and when we come back, we're gonna be talking with Diane Mudrow. She is the author of Everything I Need to Know series, and it's all part of the Little Golden Books.
Even supermoms need a little advice. Here's yours. More of Mom Talk Radio.
You know, I get a whole bunch of books across my desk, and every once in a while, one stops, and I stop it because I can't help but look at it. I want to sit down and read it immediately, and the next book, or the book I'm going to talk about now, is one of those. It's from a series called Everything I Need to Know series, and we're joined by Diane Mudrow. She is the editorial director of Golden Books, and you probably have a few golden books tucked away somewhere in your house if you're a mom, but she's the author of Everything I Need to Know series, and she herself fell in love while writing this book, and I'm excited to have her with us. So welcome, Diane, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
So tell us, first of all, for those who haven't been able to see the book yet, what is the book all about?
Well, first of all, the series is called Everything I Need to Know I Learned from a Little Golden Book, actually. Not just Everything I Need to Know. All the books are taken from the classic Little Golden Books that have been around for almost 75 years. And the new one, Everything I Need to Know About Love I Learned from a Little Golden Book, celebrates all kinds of love, from friendship to love for your family, for grandpa, for your puppy. So it has a little bit of everything in it. It's, of course, romantic love with some of the wonderful fairy tale art from the vintage Little Golden Books. So all the artwork in the book is from especially the 1950s and 40s Little Golden Books.
And so do you also draw off of some of the stories that are in the Little Golden Books other than just the artwork?
Sometimes I do, yeah. I mean, each of these pictures is so special, and they really stand alone, you know, as their own sort of story. So often I think I just, over the years, made up captions to myself for some of my favorite pieces of artwork, you know.
Okay, so why is it right for a book like this right now?
It's actually great for now. It's also great all year round. I don't think we can get enough love.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful book to give to friends and family, not just at the Valentine's Day time of the year, but it has a little, you know, because it has your family in there, it has pets, it has friendship, it really celebrates friendship.
It's
just a wonderful gift book for people to give to their loved ones.
Yeah, I should have clarified that a little bit more. I was just wondering, like, why the Everything I Need to Know series is like the timing of it. That, you know, how did you come up with the idea and why now?
Well, I came up with the idea. I've been the editor of Little Golden Books for over 20 years. And, you know, I think I'm just so steeped in these wonderful books. And the idea actually hit me on the subway one day. And that title just popped into my head, Everything I Need to Know I Learned from a Little Golden Book. And I thought it would be, you know, but why now, you ask? It's, you know, in 2008, we had that terrible financial meltdown in this country. And there was a lot of soul searching after that, not just about how we were spending our money, but maybe were we eating right? Were we doing everything right and exercising? And one thing about the Little Golden Books that I've noticed over the years is that they've pretty much dealt with everything.
Dealt with exercise
and money. You know, there was a book in the 50s called Five Pennies to Spend. And I thought, wouldn't it be fun to take a lot of the wonderful pictures from these books and turn it into sort of a fun guide to life aimed at the baby boomers who grew up with these books and who still love them. So the first book, Everything I Need to Know I Learned from a Little Golden Book, it came out a few years after that. It took me a few years to write it. And I wrote it sort of for my own entertainment, actually, before I really knew I had something. And it's been a real success because I wrote it as a Valentine to the baby boomers who grew up with these books and who've never stopped loving them.
Yeah, and it's right. We all have read Little Golden Books, it seems. I mean, at every stage of your life, they seem to have been there. What's your favorite one?
Gosh, I can't really give you a favorite. I think I would have to say, well, I could give you my favorite as a kid, which is going to make you laugh. It was called Goodbye Tonsils, which is not even in print right now. Another one of my favorites as a kid was Wonders of Nature. And that was a wonderful book because the art was by Eloise Wilkin, who did such beautiful children and such beautiful landscape scenes. And it was sort of my first geography book, you know what I mean? It talked about the ocean and the mountains, and I had never seen the ocean. So I was very impressed by that book.
And then, of course, all of the fairy tales that we know so well. How do you select what goes into a Little Golden Book?
Are you talking about the Everything I Need to Know books or the actual Little Golden Books?
Either one. I'm kind of interested in the Little Golden Books, actually. How you determine what becomes a Little Golden Book.
Well, a little golden book, our target audience is 2 to 5 year olds. Mm-hmm. So I do new little golden books every year. I actually reissue old titles every year, but I also do new ones. And sometimes it's not about reinventing the wheel. Sometimes it's just about finding the right content that will appeal to that 2 to 5 year old and have a classic feel. Some of the new books that are coming out now, we have a new a book called Bella's New Baby coming out next year. It's about a little girl who's finding out that she's going to have a baby sibling and how that will change her life in wonderful ways. One of our biggest books right now of the new titles is I'm a Truck. So it's written from the truck's point of view, and the truck has a wonderful good old boy voice. So I just make sure that whatever we do has a special storytelling style and really works for our audience.
And
it should open up their world in some way, you know.
That's right. That's right.
Bring
so,
the world to them.
So for everyone who is interested in getting one of the Everything I learned from a little golden book, where would we find that?
It's kind of hard to hear you, but I think you're asking where the Everything I Need to Know books are sold.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, they're in Barnes & Noble. They're in all kinds of independent bookstores. Everything I Need to Know, I Learned from a Little Golden Book, was the number one best-selling book in the independents last year. I encourage you to support your local independent bookstore. You can get them online. You can get them at Target. They're really all over now. You can even get them in women's boutiques, and Francesca's, I think, is one that has the book. Because they're very gifty, they're really in places that you don't even see a lot of books, but just wonderful gifts, too. So anywhere these days.
Yeah. So thank you so much, and congratulations on developing a wonderful series and all the success. And we will have a link to the book on Mom Talk Radio. So thank you, Diane, so much for sharing some of your day with us on Mom Talk Radio. When we return, we're going to turn our attention to fitness and getting in shape in 21 days. Know me, you know I love to get in shape, and I've recently been enjoying watching and being challenged by a friend of mine, Dr. Daisy Sutherland, and she's joining us today on Mom Talk Radio to talk about all the things in her world as she has transformed her body online, and it's just quite amazing. Daisy, no one would even know that you are over 40 years old.
Well, thanks for having me, and I'm actually 50.
I know, but I didn't want to say that. As another 50-year-old, I wasn't going to go call you out on it.
No,
but
that's okay.
You're in better shape now than you were when you were 30 or 40, aren't you?
You know, I'm actually in better shape than I was when I was in my 20s, believe it or not.
Wow.
Yeah.
So tell me how you're doing it. And I mean, because you're like down to a size 4 now, which is just amazing. Two.
Yes.
Okay.
Let me tell you, what broke it for me was a picture. I saw a picture of myself with my daughter for homecoming, and I looked pregnant. I could not believe that was me. And then I was, what the heck? Why? What? Nobody told me? And that's what I'd said. Last year was my year of transformation, and I needed to find something to get me back into the shape that I wanted to be in so that the image in the mirror fit with the one that everyone else was seeing, too. And so I joined a Beachbody company, and I started doing their workouts. One of the Pio is their workout because, let's face it, I'm 50 and I can't jump around like I used to. And that program, along with the Shakeology, transformed my life. I went from, get this, I was a size 12, squeezing into a size 10. Maybe that's why I looked pregnant. And I'm now a size 2.
Wow, that is just amazing. So, you know, moms are really busy. They would like to be getting in shape. Tell me why this is working for you, because you're a busy mom of 5. You homeschool. You run your practice. Why does this work?
Well, let me tell you. I mean, that was one of the main reasons I needed a system to help me back on track, because, you know, you said it. I have a busy lifestyle. I run a business. I'm homeschooling. I have two children I'm left at home homeschooling, and now you throw a grandbaby into the mix, my whole world was flipped upside down. So I needed to find a system that would help me get back into the shape that I needed to be in. And I mean, it only takes 30 minutes a day, and we can all find 30 minutes. I no longer watch TV, you know, plop myself on the couch and watch TV. I find those 30 minutes, and it has helped me with my sanity. It has helped me just get motivated again and love my life and not be totally stressed, because I was yelling at everyone. I was so stressed out. I sleep better. I have more energy. I have lost the weight, and I'm loving life. And it only took 30 minutes a day. I mean, it sounds like an infomercial, but it's the truth.
Right.
I can find 30 minutes. Anybody can.
Anybody can. I know.
Yeah.
And the transformation has been pretty amazing. So where do people go to, like, how can they follow you, find out, you know, more about what you're doing?
Find out more about me?
Yes. Yes. That's it.
Okay. Well, I'm no longer Dr. Mommy. My website has transformed as well. So I figured, why not transform everything? My website, Holistic Fit Living, and Holistic with a W. And I'm actually having a program where I'm looking for 20 women that want to change their life like I did and live a healthier, happier lifestyle. And then from the 20 women, I'm going to pick 10 to be Holistic Fit Living ambassadors. And they're going to transform their lives. They're going to learn the system that I learned. I'm going to take them through it for 3 months, and they're going to be happier at the end. And they're going to see that reflection in the mirror and just love it, like I do now.
Yeah, I got to tell you, it's pretty amazing what you've done. So you got me energized to do. I'm like a huge Insanity fan, and you're right. It does transform your body. But this time I decided to do the 21-day challenge. So we have just like 1 minute left. Can you tell me what I'm in store for?
Did you get the 21-day fix extreme? Is that the one you want?
I did. Yes, I did.
Oh, girl. Well, get ready to be sore every single day, but it's a hurt so good type of thing. That's the program I'm doing as well. But you're going to see a huge transformation in 21 days. You really are. But you have to do the Shakeology, too. I noticed that you didn't do that.
So give me the website one more time.
HolisticFitLiving.com.
Okay, and we're going to put a link to it on Mom Talk Radio. Daisy, I encourage people to follow Daisy. How do they follow you on Twitter and Facebook these days?
On Twitter and Facebook, on Dr. Daisy S.
Okay, Dr. Daisy S. Well, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you in 21 days, and I'll let you know how I did. Thanks so much, Daisy. And we have a link to Daisy's website on Mom Talk Radio, so check it out. And when we return, we're going to turn our attention to Keith Miller, who's going to talk to us about couples and counseling and love under repair.
Mothers of America, this hour belongs to you. It's Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
You know, a lot of times we take care of our children as a mom. We take care of our mothers and extended family and friends, but we don't ever take care of ourselves and, more importantly, our spouse. And I'm joined today by Keith Miller, who is the author of a new book, Love Under Repair, How to Save Your Marriage and Survive Couples Therapy. And he knows what he's talking about. He holds a Master of Social Work degree and has the founder at Keith Miller and Associates, a very large practice in the D.C. area. We are delighted to have him with us today to talk about the joys and challenges of marriage. So welcome, Keith, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
So we're happy to have you here, because often I get a lot of tweets from moms and sometimes dads who are saying, you know, it's just not what it used to be. And I don't know what to do in my marriage. So as your experience in couples counseling goes, what are the, I guess, the best habits of highly successful couples?
Yeah, well, it's interesting, you know, because some of the things that you might think of the best habits aren't always the things that end up proving to be habits of success. I'll give you one example that, you know, used to be kind of conventional wisdom for us as therapists to really help couples try to be nice to each other. And I don't want to get this wrong, you know, we do want people to be nice. That's a big part of having a intimate, loving relationship, is to be caring and do caring behaviors. But I think where we've gotten it wrong in the past, at least the research is telling us this now, and it has been very consistent over the last 10 years and more, is that when it comes to our conflict, how we handle conflict as couples and as professionals, how we help couples handle conflict, is we don't have to be afraid of things like anger. You know, anger won't destroy your relationship. Conflict is not the enemy. Negativity isn't really the enemy. It's just usually a symptom of something else going on, and we have to work with that. But it's other things. We want to, you know, find ways to be soft and turn towards your partner in the middle of conflict. It's when we dig in our heels and we have sort of resentment. That's, you know, that's one of the things we try to help people with. So as far as a habit, one of the I think paradoxical things that stands out now is, you know, that you can actually get pretty steamed at your partner, but how you handle that makes a big difference in couples as far as success goes.
I'm going to get to an issue that I'm hearing a lot with moms in who are approaching empty nesting, or who are just, I don't know, a lot. It seems like a lot of my friends are moms with high schoolers and tweens and just really, really busy. And, you know, after a few glasses of wine, the conversation of sex comes up. How important is sex in a marriage? Because I'm pretty amazed at how many people live in a sexless marriage, but yet they say it's okay.
Well, it's a lightning rod, certainly, of emotional kind of reactions. That's the thing to pay attention to. People can make it work. I think sex is not like something that has to be there. It depends on, you know, each of your levels of desire, and you can find two people that have a matched kind of low sex drive, and they may not be that interested in sex, but that's really the key thing, is whether or not there's conflict about it. And most of the time there is, and you can even start a relationship on the same exact page as far as level of desire for sex, and over time it's going to polarize and you will find differences. So it's something we have to pay attention to. It's really how you process those differences. Again, going back to what I said earlier, you know, can you be different about something and still stay connected to each other? So sex is a real test of that, because, you know, what's on the line, I think, is your pride, your sense of being able to be competent at something. You know, sex is something, it's a reflex at its core. It's something we don't think about to do. And so when we're rejected sexually, it really, that's why I think it cuts to the core and can be shameful. And a lot of us carry around a lot of shame when it comes to feeling rejected from our partners.
So you have this new book out. It's called Love Under Repair. What does it offer to couples?
Well, Love Under Repair is really a consumer's guide for couples who are interested in, that they know they need some sort of professional support, and it's a consumer's guide to finding a good, competent couples therapist. So, you know, when I tell the story in the book that I went through a pretty terrible marriage crisis myself as a professional marriage counselor, that's really humbling to say that. But, it, you know, when I went through it, you know, and I know a lot about this subject, I know about where to turn, I still was overwhelmed by the choices as far as who's competent, how do you know when you're with a good therapist that matches the kind of issue in your relationship. So I wrote the book to be a guide to help people, make it simple. How do you choose? How do you know what's out there?
Mm-hmm. And we only have 2 minutes left. Can you just briefly, like, you know, tell us one of the things that's important in finding help?
Yeah, for sure, because a lot of people don't know this, but when you choose and you go to a therapist and ask them to help you with the relationship, a lot of therapists aren't trained And they don't specialize in couples therapy, so it's a little bit like asking your internist, your general practitioner, to do open-heart surgery. You know, thank goodness they don't do that, right? Because you obviously need special training. And in couples therapy, you need to find someone who has that special training. And to go even further, Maria, you know, in this day and age, there's a lot of therapists that what I would consider are not friendly to marriages. In other words, they take kind of a neutral stance. Well, let's see how it goes, and then I'll decide if I want to help you guys stay together or, you know, influence that. And we don't take that stance in our practice. We take the stance, and I think a lot of trained professionals that do this work all the time will say, it's not a neutral thing. We believe that being together is beneficial for people as a whole, that we want to try to help you stay together if you can.
Right, right. Well, you have a website. It's Love Good Be Well. And we have a link to it on Mom Talk Radio. The book is called Love Under Repair, How to Save Your Marriage and Survive Couples Therapy. Great book. Check it out. Keith has some fantastic advice to give you. And we really appreciate you sharing some of your time today with us on Mom Talk Radio. So good luck with the book. And hope I don't have to call you anytime soon. But thanks
pleasure.
For being here. When we return, we're going to talk to one of the co-authors of Mommy, Are We Rich? Talking to Your Children About Money.
Even super moms need a little advice. Here's yours. More of Mom Talk Radio.
So I have a great story that I've been waiting to share with you. You know, I'm always on an airplane, and I'm going to introduce our first guest and then tell the story, because I'd love to have her chime in. It's just a interesting little interaction about money. And I'm talking to Susie Peterfriend about money because she's the co-author of Mommy, Are We Rich? Talking to Your Children About Family Money. And she specializes in working with high-profile American families. And she's been everywhere, done a lot, and is very well qualified in the subject of money and talking to your children about it. So welcome, Susie, to Mom Talk Radio. We're happy to have you.
Well, and I'm happy to be here. I think it's a great concept for lots of reasons, especially because I feel so strongly about women as the backbone of this country financially.
That's right. So I want to tell the story really quickly and get your reaction, because I think sometimes we don't have the discussion with our children about, I guess, financial etiquette in some ways. But so I'm sitting on an airplane the other day coming from LaGuardia to South Florida, and I'm in first class, and there's a five-year-old and about a seven-year-old sitting in front of me in first class. And of course the parents chose not to sit next to the young children, and they're a few rows back. And one of the little kids yells to his dad, "Hey, Dad, when we get to Florida, can we eat at Ruth Chris tonight?" And I kind of was taken back. I'm like, wow, this kid knows, you know, about a $50 steak, you know? And then, you know, the father yells back over two aisles of the airplane and says, "I don't know, we'll have to see when we get there." And then the little boy yells back and says, "Well, if we can't go to Ruth Chris, can we go to Morton's?" And I'm thinking, now he knows about a $75 steak. And I just thought to myself, there is something very wrong about this conversation on so many levels that, you know, I don't know. I just think, you know, maybe a humbling experience with money can also be in the mix of education.
Well, first of all, I don't understand why they would put two little ones alone, but, you know, so be it. That speaks volumes right there. And one of the things we're going to address really quickly a little bit down the road is the issue of, you know, great wealth and the difference between feeling entitled and having privilege,
right,
which is having compassion and caring. And understanding more about what it means to have this wealth. So one of the things I want to talk about is, you know, we wrote this book specifically on a more global scale of the kinds of dialogue you experienced. When we wrote the original book in 2001, we were writing it for wealthy families that were worried about the wealth as much as its effect on their children, probably more so worried about the effect on the family than they were about their goals with creating more wealth. And the two things we kept hearing was, how do we tell them about this wealth, and how do we keep them motivated? And then how do we prevent the sense of entitlement, which is pretty much what you were talking about with that little example. And then the global crisis came, and people once again became worried about the safety of their wealth, and it became a great concern again. And now we're finding that families are going back more to worrying about what to tell the children, the effects of the wealth. And people keep asking us not only what do we tell them at 5, which is when they start school and have new experiences, but we find that also ages 12, when they're becoming a teenager and they need money because they want to be financially independent and they want to go out and spend money with their friends. And at 20, it really becomes super significant to have these discussions because they start handling finances, the cost of education becomes relevant. Some of them may start getting money from a trust fund, and if they have relationships, it's going to impact the relationships that they may start having. So when we did this, we said, let's do a book from the abstract. We're not going to teach people how to do a budget with their children, but mm-hmm. to give them talking points so that they can be aware of when the conversations come up. And we want children to be happy and confident. And really what we're speaking about is a sense of family values and a support system.
Yeah, absolutely. So we just have like a minute left in the segment. Where can parents go to find the book? Because it's really, really a good book.
The book is on Amazon.com. And if you go to www.mommyarewerich, it's right mm-hmm. there.
Well, really good book, and Mommy, Are We Rich? An answer that you need, you know, every kid is going to ask you at some point, whether you are or you aren't. Thank you so much for joining us today, Susie. And when we return, we're going to now turn to the health of our children with one pediatrician who has got some important messages about this winter and some of the things that your children can come down with. There's a lot of stuff out there right now. Our kids are in and out of the cold, whether you live in Michigan or you live in sunny South Florida. It's just a nasty time of the year for our children. And so we brought in the doctor, Dr. Daniel McGee. He's a pediatric hospitalist at Helen DeVos Children's Hospital in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He has been seen on air in a whole bunch of different places, including the John Tesh radio show. And he's won a number of awards. And he's here today to talk about something that drives my husband crazy, a cough. Because a cough has so many clues to other things. And it literally, my husband cannot stand to hear my kids cough. So Dr. McGee is going to help us define what those coughs mean. So welcome, Dr. McGee, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thanks for having me.
So tell me about coughs and why are they important and what we should know about them.
Well, there are different kinds of coughs, and different coughs can help give you a clue towards what the cause of the cough is. For example, one of the most popular ones is the barking seal cough that's associated with croup. I'm not going to try to do an imitation on the radio, but it's the child actually will sound like they're barking, kind of more like a seal honking, too.
And, okay, and then there's the kind that kind of get a little phlegmy, right?
Well, yes, if you have more of a productive cough where you're bringing up mucus and stuff, this can be more of a sign of some type of an infection either in the upper respiratory tract or the lower respiratory tract. Not every cough that brings up mucus is caused by bacteria, so not every cough that brings up mucus necessarily needs an antibiotic.
Why do they last for so long?
Well, it depends on the cause of the cough, and that's one of the things that will help you to steer me towards the diagnosis. If you have a cough that's persistent, say, lasting more than a week or two, that can be any one of a number of things. You have to think about, particularly if the cough occurs every night, you have to think about asthma. If it's a real bad coughing episodes that go on and on and on, and the child starts to turn colors, and this lasts more than a week, then one of the things you have to think about is whooping cough, which is making a resurgence in the United States.
Yeah, it is. So what do we need to know as far as, like, what's next when, you know, our child has a cough, we think we, you know, we can pretty much define it as a barking, or when do we go to the pediatrician?
Well, there's a couple times you should go. The absolute number one is if you notice that your child is working hard to breathe. If they're making an effort to breathe and it's just not coming naturally, then that's a sign you need to go to the pediatrician. I think another time would be if the cough lasts for more than a week, then that would be an indication that you need to go to the pediatrician. Also, if there's color change, particularly in the infant, if the child is turning red or purple or even blue with the cough, and that would be a time that the child should be seen.
And you know, do you recommend taking their temperature at home or anything, you know, that we could do at home? My husband always hands him a glass of water, like that's going to help. But
well, I think sometimes it can help if there's some irritation in the back of the throat. You get into an annoying cycle. You cough, that irritates the lungs, which make and the airways. That makes you cough more. So a little humidity can help. A little drink of water might even help. As far as temperature goes, when my kids were growing up, we didn't even have a thermometer in the house, and that's because I was more concerned with how the child looked. If they looked miserable, they were acting miserable, that prompted me into action. I'm more inclined to treat the child rather than the thermometer.
Oh, very interesting. So you have a website, spectrumhealth.org is where we could find you, and I'm sure that we can find a lot more information about coughs. And we have links to YouTube videos. How proactive is this, where you can actually hear a cough and compare it to your child? Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. McGee, and stay warm up there in Grand Rapids.
We'll try. It's zero right now. So we'll try.
Yeah. Well, it's not much warmer in Florida, I hate to tell you. So thank you. And I want to thank you guys listening to Mom Talk Radio. It's been another fantastic show here in our 20th year. We just keep going. It's like the Ever Ready battery. We just keep going. We keep going. But thank you for keeping us on the air for all those years. And we'll see you again next week. Remember, you can always follow us on Twitter at Mom Talk Radio. 20 years ago, we had no idea Twitter would even be here, but we're there now, and you can find us there. I'm Maria Bailey. Have a great week, everybody.